expected one. There was no reason to freak out. She'd follow Dana's schedule and it would go off without a hitch. A shop for all seasons would be open for another 40 minutes, and at least if she collected Holly's order and deposit, she'd be one step closer to making this festival a success. Mary passed by the Bank of Idaho, admiring the fall window they'd painted across the glass. Last week, it had been bats and skeletons, and today it was pumpkins, turkeys, and scarecrows. The day after Thanksgiving, it would change again to whatever Christmassy theme they planned this year, and Mary couldn't wait to see. Although some businesses went the traditional route of decorating for each holiday, Scrap and Sew Craft Store had a wood sign in their window display that made her snort. Happy Hollow Thanksmas. Felt pumpkins sprinkled the fake snowy ground, and to the left, classic monsters made out of yarn were sledding down a hill of white cotton. Gorgeous Christmas wreaths made of sparkling ribbons and bows hung above like multicolored stars, and smack in the center was a stuffed, quilted turkey, complete with a large paisley fabric tail. It was absolutely adorable, and she considered popping in to find out how much it was, but she didn't decorate for any holiday but Christmas. There wasn't enough space in her house to display much anyway, so she kept it to one tub of Christmas stuff. She could get a small shed for storage, but her heart didn't leap for any other holiday the same way. Once the green and reds of the season started popping up in stores, she'd be humming and smiling until January 1st. Heck, if it was socially acceptable to keep her holiday decor up and listen to Christmas carols all year, she would. Mary opened the door to her sister's shop, and when she stepped over the threshold, the obnoxious call of a turkey exploded above her head, making her nearly stumble into a display of wooden porch signs. It made sense her sister would change the sound celebrating all the major holidays, but the door alarm was enough to give patrons like Mary a stroke. "You all right?" Holly called from around the rather large frame of Declan Gallagher. They were facing off in front of the checkout counter, Declan's posture rigid and imposing. But Holly didn't seem fazed by the big man's irritation. "I'm good, but you gotta get rid of that door alarm. I think I lost 10 years off my life."
"I agree with your sister," Declan griped. "You need to take it down a notch with all this holiday cheer."
Holly rolled her eyes. "Nobody asked your opinion, Declan." Mary busied herself with exploring the store. Instead of listening to the two of them snip back and forth, shelves of trinkets stretched across the store, full of fun and eye-catching items. Stuffed foxes holding sunflowers, extra-large mugs with adorable fall puns, floral wreaths of maroon, brown, orange, hunter green, and yellow leaves adorned the walls. The only thing out of sync with the fall ambiance was the music. A cheery rendition of "We Are Santa's Elves" played through the speakers, which might explain why Declan Gallagher stood with his flannel-clad arms crossed over his chest, scowling at Holly.
"It's too early for this ear-bleeding crap."
Holly, in turn, held a stuffed turkey, like she wanted to bash Declan over the head with it. "Christmas music is cheerful and uplifting. If your ears are bleeding, maybe you should see a doctor. Or an exorcist? Is it black ooze coming out by any chance? If you're possessed by a demon that hates Christmas, that would explain a lot." Mary snorted, ducking behind shelves of fall garland.
"I am not possessed. I'm just not a Christmas freak. It isn't even Thanksgiving. Can't you play smooth jazz like a normal human instead of this holly jolly garbage?"
The man hated Christmas. The whole holiday season, Mary thought. She grinned at her silent paraphrasing from How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but it was true. Declan had taken over his father's hardware store last year when his dad semi-retired, and apparently the walls between the businesses were thin. He'd complained about the music more than once and hadn't stopped there. He'd been rather vocal that the tree lighting ceremony in the town square was a fire hazard. The light parade equated to a public disturbance. And that evergreen circle would cause a full-blown community power outage one day with its animatronics and blow-up displays. If he'd been a 70-year-old curmudgeon, it would have been one thing. But he was the same age as Mary, and boy, did he get on her sister's one last nerve. Holly held the stuffed turkey by the neck, and Mary smothered a giggle. If that thing had been alive, her sister's grip would have broken its neck. "Who hurt you, Declan?" Holly cocked her head to the side. "Why are you the man who hates Christmas?"
"I don't hate Christmas. I think there is a time and place for Christmas music and decor, like December."
"That is your opinion. You have voiced it. I hear you. And now you can take your Grinchy behind back to your Who's-its and What's-its store."
"It's a hardware store."
"I know," Holly shouted, launching onto her tiptoes to stand nose to clavicle with him. "It's from The Little Mermaid."
"I've never seen it."
Holly placed a hand on her chest and gasped. "No wonder you are such an angry pants." Declan bent over Holly. His eyebrows snapped together.
"I swear to God, Holly, I am going to dismantle your sound system if you don't turn that shit off."
"Go ahead and try. But my speakers will come back bigger and louder." Holly finally whacked Declan with the turkey in the shoulder. "Now get, before your negative energy ruins Bublé for me." Declan roared, a guttural, low growl that grew as his hands went up in the air.
"Impossible woman!"
"Obnoxious miser!" Declan slammed out of the shop and marched past the window where two scarecrows were kissing.
"Phew! I would not want to be his next customer," Mary mused.
Holly smirked at Mary. "I swear, fighting with that man is the best foreplay." Mary sputtered. "You're sleeping with Declan? Of course not. Thank God. I was going to commit you." Holly tilted her head at an angle, staring off. "Maybe if he shaved off the beard and had a personality transplant." She shook herself, frowning. "Nope, never mind. Not gonna happen. I could never be with anyone that cantankerous. But arguing with him boils my blood until my whole body is tight, and I just need one really good—" Her eyes rolled back in her head and she twitched as she let out a loud, high-pitched, "Oh!" "You are disturbed. You're telling me you don't have the best sex when you're pissed off?"
"What sex?" Mary deadpanned.
"You haven't been with anyone since that horse's ass from Denver?" "Killian." "And no, I haven't been with anyone since." Holly grabbed onto the side of the counter, as if the shock of Mary's lack of bedroom antics had somehow knocked the wind out of her. "Are you sure it still works? It might squeak or crack from lack of use."
"Har, har. You're so funny."
"It's fine. I said I haven't had sex with another person, not that I haven't been checking my own oil. Not having to worry about another person's wants and needs has been nice. Actually, less complicated."
"It's only complicated if there are emotions. The only thing a man wants and needs is a place to—"
"Can you not finish that sentence?"
"What? Do you know how many men have actually worried about whether I got off or not?"
"One."
"That is 25% of my sexual partners to date that give a rat's ass about my satisfaction." "Sad, right?"
Holly clicked her tongue and slammed the turkey down on the counter. "Just one of the many reasons I prefer to leave feelings out of it." Woodsman 27 and his box checked, friends with benefits, popped into her head. But as a serial monogamist, she didn't know how to have sex without emotions. "You should at least like someone before you turn your body over into their care." "I've never been the casual encounters type."
"Maybe you should try it. You've done the whole year of singledom and figuring out who you are. Now you need your cleansing lay before you can move on to another relationship."
"A cleansing lay? Where did you get that?"
"Just something that makes sense to me. Your ex cheated. You needed to heal your heart, but now you need to boost your confidence with someone who cannot wait to rip your clothes off.
Once those two things have been accomplished, you are ready for the one. I didn't say I wanted to be ready for the one. Then if you aren't actively searching for Mr. Right, you've got time to make some more items for my shop. Mary's jaw dropped. I gave you a laundry basket full of hats, blankets, and stuffies for Halloween and Thanksgiving a month ago. What can I say? Frankenbear and Fall Fox were a big hit with the kiddos. Honestly, you should just open your own online store. Your stuff is so cute. You could make a decent profit. Maybe even quit the front office at the school. She'd been thinking of opening an Etsy shop for a while, but things kept cropping up and she'd get distracted. It's not like working at the school is a bad job, but it isn't where your heart lies. You want to grow Christmas trees like Dad. God knows why. You seriously don't care about the farm? It will always be my childhood home, and I'll help out when I'm needed. But that place is all yours when Dad retires. Neither Nick nor I want it.
Thanks.
I love being the default child. Whoa, I only meant we won't step on your toes. I thought you wanted to run the farm. Mary swallowed back her irritation. I do want it. But sometimes I think Dad doesn't trust me. Now you're talking crazy. The farm is Dad's baby. Like this store is mine. He doesn't want to give up the reins to anyone. Or he doesn't want to give them up to me. If it were Nick asking, oh, don't go there. Dad isn't sexist. But he can't boss you around the way he can Clark. Just give it time, and I swear, he will come around. Holly's unshakable confidence didn't convince Mary, but it wasn't worth pressing the topic. I'll drop some more by tomorrow. I made the cutest fall leaves baby blanket, but I'm tempted to keep it. For all the future grandbabies you're giving, Mom? Mary rolled her eyes. I am missing a key element for children. Not really. They make them in frozen pops now. Okay, subject change. I need something from you. Mary paused as she pulled the order form out of the binder. Fill this out and give me your deposit. Holly set the turkey down on the counter and took the paper, the skin between her eyes wrinkling. This is for the Festival of Trees. I know. I'm organizing it this year while Dana is in California. Holly whistled, widening her eyes and raising her eyebrows before turning her back on Mary. What is that? Holly rustled some of the papers behind the counter before coming up with her checkbook. That is my good luck with that reaction. Mary put her arms on the counter and leaned over to smack her sister's shoulder. You cannot say something like that and not expand on it. Holly ripped her check from the book and stood up, waving it toward Mary. The Festival of Trees is like planning one wedding for 2,000 people. I'm pretty sure Dana only organized it because she self-medicated with a bottle of wine every night from November to December. I thought Dana sounded a little too gushy. If that's the case, why would she do it for so long? Mary asked, taking the check from her and slipping it into the clear zipper pouch in the binder. Because she couldn't find someone to pass the buck to? Until you. Mary's eyes narrowed. Mom gave her my number because she was too busy. Sold out by your own mother. That's cold. You're enjoying this. Only because it isn't me. You have to learn to say no, sis. You can't save everyone. Holly tapped a finger to her lips. Maybe that's why you pick so many male fixer-uppers. It's part of your pathology.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
Inconceivable, Holly hollered, shaking her fist in the air, and Mary laughed. Well, I am bound and determined not to screw this up, no matter how many difficult people I have to deal with. I love Christmas. I love the Festival of Trees, and nobody is going to ruin that. In fact, I have a plan to get every single business to buy a tree this year. I should have grabbed Declan's check while he was here. Holly snorted. That Scrooge wouldn't buy a tree. You want to help me convince him? I do not. Mary responded with her very best puppy dog face, complete with sad pout and teary eyes. But you love me, and I'm the only sister you have.
still a no from me.
I see.
That's fine. I suppose I'll just have to relay your lack of cooperation
to Mother.
Holly's brown eyes narrowed.
You wouldn't dare.
Mary smirked.
Evil,
Holly grumbled. Maybe so, but I get the job done. Mary waved the binder at her triumphantly as she headed for the door.
Thanks for helping me out, sis.
You're a trooper.
Bite me.
Mary pushed out of the shop, grinning from ear to ear when her phone chimed. It was another message from Woodsman 27. Naughty Girl 25. That's a good favorite to have. Mine is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You can't go wrong with a classic. And the squirrel in the Christmas tree was hilarious. I did make the snowman. In fact, I have three of them in various sizes I plan to put out for the holidays. I enjoy woodworking. It relaxes me. My favorite Christmas song is Run, Run, Rudolph. I've got to make dinner, but I'm curious. What knitting projects are you working on? I'm making wood coasters with a tree line across the surface. I've burned myself at least a half a dozen times, but I'm determined to master wood engraving. Woodsman 27. He was asking her about crafts now? Who was this guy? Chapter 4. Monday, 5:57 p.m., Woodsman 27. I crochet and knit, and right now I'm making a lap throw from my mother with green, red, and white granny squares. You should get some of those heat-resistant gloves that come with hair straighteners and crimpers. Save your fingers. Unless you're trying to burn off your fingerprints in order to easily get away with murder. I mean, moving on. Do you ever make those snowmen for other people? I'd love to buy some from my parents. Too cute. I'm going to turn on a Hallmark movie and enjoy the enchiladas I picked up on my way home. I swear, I could eat Mexican food morning, noon, and night. What food could you eat forever? Naughty Girl 25.
Monday, 7:48 p.m. Naughty Girl 25. That blanket sounds nice. I have a Sherpa-lined one I've been sleeping with now that the nights are colder. What Hallmark movie are you watching? As for my favorite food, I like Thai. When I was in college, there was a great Thai place near my apartment, and although I didn't eat there often, it was my go-to when I did. I'm going to knock off for tonight, but I have a very important question. For Christmas dinner, do you serve A. prime rib, B. ham, C. turkey? Sweet dreams. Woodsman 27.
Tuesday, 6:32 a.m. Woodsman 27. I'm going to cheat and say all of the above. As someone who comes from a big family, we tend to do all three, especially since I'm not a real big fan of red meat. Blasphemy, I know. Besides, I'm all about the mashed potatoes, preferably loaded, but I can hang with gravy. I was watching Christmas Next Door, super cute movie and just what I needed. Now I have a very serious question. You can only have one of these sides for Christmas. Which do you choose? A. Mashed potatoes and gravy. B. Rolls. C. Yams. D. Roasted Brussels sprouts. Your answer will determine whether I speak to you again. Winky face. Naughty Girl 25.
Tuesday, 12:11 p.m. Naughty Girl 25. Wow, that's a lot of pressure to put on a man. But I'm going to have to go with potatoes and gravy. I don't have much of a sweet tooth, so the yams are wasted on me. And potatoes pair nicely with prime rib, which is my favorite. But I usually make a ham because it is cheaper. I'm curious if I passed your test. And if I did, which side would have been a deal breaker? As for my next poll, let's talk presents. Do you A. open one on Christmas Eve and the rest on Christmas Day? B. All on Christmas morning after breakfast. C. All on Christmas after dinner. D. One a day starting the 12 days of Christmas. Personally, I love gift giving and cannot wait to watch someone open up something I bought them. And I am an excellent gift giver. Woodsman 27.
Tuesday, 4:02 p.m. Woodsman 27.
Oh, if you'd said Brussels sprouts, we'd be done here. I get the dilemma of prime rib versus ham. Even if it was my first choice, there is no way I would buy it unless I was charging for admission. Although your not liking sweets is unnerving. Oh well, more for me.
And who the heck waits until after Christmas dinner to open presents? That is pure torture. Evil personified. Sadistic to the max.
All right, so I'm a bit dramatic. But to answer your question, I am all about the night before Christmas present. We'd open ours at around 5 in the evening, because it was always a pair of pajamas with matching slippers, flavored cocoa, and a bag of our favorite popcorn. We'd all vote on what movie to watch, and then getting up early to open presents before breakfast. We usually have biscuits and gravy or cinnamon rolls, which pair nicely with coffee and Bailey's, I might add. Oh, so that's your love language? Gift giving? Mine is acts of service and gifts. What is the best gift you've ever given and received? Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to make dinner and devour it along with a glass of wine in my bathtub because that is my favorite place in the whole world. My second favorite place is my bed because I love sleep. Naughty Girl 25.
Tuesday, 8:26 p.m. Naughty Girl 25. I don't mind Brussels sprouts, with enough butter and seasoning. And yes, I will pass along all my sweets to you, except pumpkin pie. That one I'll keep. I'm glad I am not one of those foul demons who wait until after dinner for Christmas presents, because I'm a little scared you'd come after me with a shotgun and salt rounds. Maybe some holy water. I bet you used to jump on your parents at 5 in the morning for presents, didn't you? Your night before Christmas present sounds awesome. My family didn't celebrate Christmas growing up. Not for religious reasons, but because my parents didn't want to. My brother and I started celebrating when we became adults. But the best present I ever received was a copy of Where the Wild Things Are from my kindergarten teacher. It was my first Christmas present, and I still have the copy on my shelf. As for the best present I've ever given, the year I gave my brother a monogrammed stocking filled with his favorite candies and snacks, he cried. I'm going to go out on a limb and call that the best present I've ever given. My favorite place is the woods, followed closely by sitting in front of a fireplace. I hope you're not a spoiled brat, but even if you are, at least you're a funny one. I'm off to bed. But I hope I have a message from you in the morning. Woodsman 27.
Tuesday, 10:43 p.m. Hey, Woodsman 27. Wow, you go to bed really early. I'm a total night owl. Usually, I don't go to bed until 11 and wake up at 6:30. In theory. Sometimes I hit the alarm a couple times, dry shampoo my hair, and take off. Don't judge me. I'll let you keep the pumpkin pie unless it's the last piece. Then we may have to square off, but I'll gladly slip my BS onto your plate. See what I did there? BS? LOL. They look like plant brains, and that gives me the creeps. Did you just slide into my messages with a Supernatural reference? 'Cause I freaking love that show, and not just because the leads are hot. I mean, they are. But they're also funny. And the show can really hit me in the feels. I was never the first one up on Christmas. Even as a child, I liked to sleep. You didn't celebrate Christmas as a kid, but as an adult, you are all about it. And I love that you put your brother's name on his stocking. That is so cute. My mom made us stockings out of our favorite character fabric from when we were toddlers. And they are twice as big as a normal stocking, so they hold more goods. My mom buys stocking stuffers all year long, except the candy. That's fresh, I think. I am not a big reader, but my favorite gift was my hope chest. It's a little old-fashioned, but my dad made it for me out of cedar, and my mom filled it with one of the prize-winning quilts my grandma made. A dish set she'd started collecting when I was born, and some of my childhood mementos. I keep it below my stairs. My eyes are getting droopy. TTYL, Naughty Girl 25. P.S. I really like chatting with you.
Wednesday, 5:59 a.m. Hi, Naughty Girl 25. I like talking to you too. It's funny because I downloaded this app a few months ago, started my profile and never finished it. I assumed with it being such a small town, I wouldn't have very many options. And what was the point? Now I'm really glad I did. I like that your favorite gift is something given from the heart instead of an iPad or something like that. I love the smell of cedar. So good choice of wood on your dad's part. Just call me a zombie, because I like plant brains. Slurp. I'm not much of a fighter, but I am an excellent negotiator. Maybe we could split the pie in half? I don't mind sharing with you. And yes, I was talking about Supernatural. It's a fun show, and although I like the actors, they aren't really my type. What fabric is your stocking made of? I love to read. In fact, my spare room has 3 bookshelves stuffed full of my favorite books. I need to hop in the shower. I wonder if you're awake yet. Woodsman 27.
Wednesday, 7:34 a.m. I was definitely not awake. This was one of those days when the snooze button was a blessing and a curse. Thankfully, I was able to get to work on time. I feel like I should elaborate about the dry shampoo. I still shower, I just don't get my hair wet because it takes so long to dry. But I don't show up to work smelling moldy. Veggie zombie, huh? That's a new one. I am good with compromise and splitting the last pie slice with you. If I like you enough, I'll even give you the last bite. And my stocking is Princess Jasmine from Aladdin. All right, you love to read. What is your favorite book? I hope you have a great day at work. Naughty Girl 25.
Wednesday, 10:42 a.m. My favorite book is The Hobbit. I'm glad to know you smell good. I sometimes shower twice a day because I hate climbing into bed with the day on my skin. I'd probably take you up on the last bite of pie. Love me some pie. If you could be another person, alive or dead, for one day, who would it be? Talk to you soon. Woodsman 27.
Wednesday, 3:22 p.m. Fantasy, huh? My brother made me watch the Lord of the Rings movies. I liked them, but I'm more of a romantic drama fan. I think I'd like to be Audrey Hepburn. She was so classy and brilliant. What about you? I'm surprised you're messaging me in the middle of the day. Aren't you usually at work? Driving home. Naughty Girl 25.
Wednesday, 6:07 p.m. Yes, usually I'm busy during the day at work, but I had a little break and thought I'd message you. I hope that's okay. I don't mind romantic dramas, but modern movies and books that perpetuate an ideal don't really hold my interest. You go into a fantasy movie knowing it could never happen. But a romance misleads people that somewhere out there is a perfect someone waiting for them. Maybe I'm a pessimist, but relationships aren't my strong suit. I think I'd like to be Billy the Kid. There's so much mystery around his death and who he really was. A leader? A villain? A scared kid? He fascinated me ever since I saw Young Guns for the first time. My brother is 8 years older than me, and introduced me to all that the 80s had to offer. I know it's strange for two people who have never met to get to know each other this way. But I hope you're having as much fun as I am. Awaiting your response. Woodsman 27.
Wednesday, 9:05 p.m. I just got back from my sister's, and I wanted to shoot you a message before I went to bed. I'm sure you're already asleep. Your bedtime is 8, right? To be frank, I'm a relationship failure myself. I don't know why, but I seem to fall for men who ultimately break my heart or steal my savings. Long story. I sometimes think I can't trust my instincts when it comes to falling for someone, and it's made me gun-shy to get involved again. I realize I'm telling you this, and we met on a dating site, but it's true. You could be anyone, but I want you to be exactly who you are in these messages. Funny, honest, smart. I know movies roll credits as soon as the couple admit their feelings, and that isn't reality. But my parents have been happily married for years, so I know long-lasting, true love exists. It just seems to evade me. Wow, I went a little serious on you, didn't I? Please disregard everything I said here except this. I'm having a great time. Talk soon. Naughty Girl 25.
Chapter 5. Clark grabbed his thick Carhartt jacket off the coat rack and stepped outside before slipping into it. The temperature had dropped 20 degrees in the last hour, and he could tell by the curling clouds in the distance that snow was rolling in. He wanted to check out the north side of the property before it started coming down. The trucks would be here the end of next week for those trees, and he needed to mark them for replacements in the spring on his chart. There was no point in trying to dig holes to plant now. The ground was frozen solid for the next several months. He whistled as he trotted down the stairs of his front porch. Things had moved along this week without incident, and he sent a little prayer up to whoever was listening that it would continue to do so through this first season. Clark couldn't have asked for a better situation for him and Jace. As long as they made it through the busy season without any major trouble, the winters would keep him on, and he wanted to be here. Not having to pay rent every month, having only essential bills, allowed him to put away money every month in the savings and add more to his portfolio. Goals like saving for a house, building a college fund for Jace, and retirement were looking really good. On top of all that, his correspondence with Naughty Girl 25 had increased exponentially the past 4 days. They'd been firing off messages last night until he'd passed out on her at 11 o'clock. He'd sent her an apology this morning, and she'd shot him a message an hour later.
Good morning, Woodsman 27. I suppose I can forgive you, since you get up at the crack of dawn every day. Makes sense you can't hang.
Clark had smiled at her teasing, wishing he didn't second-guess everything he typed. The last thing he wanted was to come off like a creeper. But meeting her had been at the forefront of his mind since her third message. It was strange to have had all these discussions about their likes and dislikes, but not even know what color her eyes were. The fear of moving too fast niggled, stalled his thumbs from responding. If we'd met in person, I'd have asked her out on a date already, he thought. Coffee was non-threatening, right? No, not coffee. That implied meeting in the morning, and it would be easier to find a babysitter at night. Although, what if she said no to dinner or drinks because it was at night? He was a stranger on the internet, and she was a single woman. She was probably terrified to reveal her identity, just like he'd hid his to protect Jace. And there was a chance she'd find out he was a single dad and lose interest. Some women didn't want to date a single parent. It would be ironic if the first person to catch his interest in years turned out to be everything he'd been avoiding. He didn't believe it, though. There was something about Naughty Girl 25 that came through the messages, warm and inviting, and he couldn't imagine her being able to fake that.
While a small part of him was willing to wait to meet her, the majority wanted to talk to her face to face. Even if they didn't end up being anything more than friends, he really, really liked talking to her. With a steadying breath, he typed, "I can hang in person, if you're up for it." The minutes ticked by like hours as he waited for her to answer. Even if it was to tell him to go to hell, he didn't think Naughty Girl 25 would ghost him. Finally, his phone chirped, and he clicked on the message.
"I'd like that."
A whispered, "Yes," escaped his lips as he replied. "How about tonight? Brews and shoes? 8:30 p.m.? We can get a drink and talk." That was the last message he sent, and he hadn't checked his phone since, mostly because he'd been too busy making and taking calls, getting ready for the harvest. Clark stepped onto the peg of his quad and threw his leg over, settling onto the seat. As he turned the key and it came to life, he took off up the trail passing by the main house. He couldn't wait to get off work, not only because he was bone tired, but he had a good feeling he'd have a message from Miss Naughty. He heard his name over the roar of the engine and pulled the quad to a stop, turning in the seat. Mary was tearing down the hill toward him, dressed in a pair of jeans and a butter yellow sweater, her black jacket open and flapping behind her. He shut the engine off and waited for her to reach him.
"I'm so glad I caught you,"
she panted, her cheeks red with exertion. Her blonde hair was pulled back from her face in a single French braid, drawing attention to her hazel eyes and lush lips. The fresh, scrubbed look reminded him of the Mary he'd met while working at the farm his senior year of high school. One afternoon, they'd been swamped, and she'd helped him haul trees out of the customers' cars. He'd stared at those lips the entire time she chatted with him. Well, more like at him. He'd been painfully shy back then, but she'd made him laugh so much his face hurt. They'd never talked much until that day. But by the end of it, he'd screwed up the courage to ask her out. It would have been his first date, and he remembered the way his heart pounded in his ears as he searched for her when his shift ended. Of course, before he could catch her, she was climbing into the cab of a lifted white truck and driving off with some jerk from the football team. As Clark watched the truck turn the corner in the distance, he remembered why he'd never spoken to her before. Girls like Mary were busy every weekend with dates and parties, mingling with people who either ignored him or tormented him. He'd been crazy to think she'd look twice at a guy like him. From that day until he left, he'd put the notion of Mary Winters as anything more than his boss's daughter out of his mind. She blew an escaped strand of hair off her forehead with a puff.
"Sorry, I had to catch my breath. Note to self, do a little more walking and less sitting this winter."
"I think you look great," he said, immediately regretting his observation. Mary was stunning, but that didn't mean he should be commenting on it. The red in her cheeks deepened to a violet hue.
"Thank you. I've gained some weight this year, enjoying too much good food, and..."
She stopped abruptly with a laugh.
"You know what? Not important. I wanted to talk to you about the tree numbers. I'm organizing the Festival of Trees this year, and I need at least 80.
Clark's forehead nodded. "Are you sure? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I thought the festival was 50.
"We're getting some new businesses participating, which is why I'm requesting the increase. It's really exciting."
"That's great. Can we talk about the details tomorrow, though? I want to do my rounds and get back before the weather hits."
"Oh, sure. Sorry to keep you. I just wanted to make sure it was doable. I didn't want to promise something I couldn't deliver."
"Understandable. And yes, I can do that for you." He turned the key and revved the engine once more. "See you tomorrow."
"Yeah, sure. See you."
She made a move to leave, but suddenly swung back.
"Actually, can I go with you? It's been a while since I've taken a look around the place And honestly, I'd love to see what you do. I've been trying to get my dad to teach me more of the day-to-day operations, but he keeps putting me off.
How can I say no to that without feeling like a jerk? Sure. Her uncertain smile widened, and she did a little hop of excitement he couldn't help finding adorable.
Great! Thanks!
She climbed up behind him, and her arms slipped around his waist, locking against his abdomen. He could feel the warmth of her pressed against his back, and unbidden, a semi stretched the front of his jeans. Shit. If that wasn't evidence it had been too long for him, he didn't know what was.
I'm ready,
she sang, traces of laughter in her voice. Her excitement was infectious, and with a smile, he pressed the throttle. The quad took off at a steady pace on the outside of the trees, the rows whizzing by like labyrinth paths. As he took a hard bump, she gripped him tighter, her body bouncing against him, and he slowed, wondering if he should turn around to get the riding helmet he'd left behind. He didn't usually wear one for property checks, unless Jace was with him. Want me to go back and get the helmet? He asked loudly.
No, I'm good. I don't scare easily.
The urge to gun the engine a little to test her mettle shot through Clark, but he resisted. If they'd been friends, he might have teased her a little, but he couldn't let his guard down. If I'm so worried about Mary Winters, then why did I let her come out here with me? Because her earnest request to come along touched that raw ache of loneliness he'd been trying to beat back? Even if she resented his presence, he wanted her to know he wasn't her competition. He'd given up avoiding her, especially with the holidays fast approaching. They were going to need to find a common ground. Clark took the long loop around, pointing as several deer bounced further ahead into the pines to their left. He'd been planning on taking a peek at his meet me messages while walking the property, but he couldn't do that with Mary along for the ride. He'd hurry with his rounds, then drop Mary off and grab Jace at the same time. If Naughty said yes to tonight, he'd need to find a babysitter fast. He parked the quad at the end of the row of planted trees, near the start of the natural growth surrounding the farm. In the distance, craggy mountains cut through the gray clouds like the jagged teeth of a saw. Clark shut the quad down with a smile, watching the wispy bottoms race across the top of the ridges, playing peekaboo with the peaks.
I never get tired of this view, she said, reaching his mind. I mean, I left for several years, but the beauty of this place makes me wonder what I was thinking.
He waited until she climbed off the back before dismounting, running a hand over his face to feel for bugs. Sometimes you don't know how good you have it until you let it go.
Very well said. I definitely learned my lesson.
Mary stared at the mountains, short strands of hair escaping her braid and curling along her temple and neck. His gaze trailed over her profile, lingering on her flushed cheeks and curved lips. Stop looking at her like that and say something, he thought. Clark cleared his throat. I take it you didn't find it.
What?
You didn't find what you were looking for out in the world. Her mouth twisted in a wry smile.
You'd be right. Turns out the missing piece I couldn't locate was me. I needed to leave, do everything wrong, and then come back to realize who I was and what I want. My family, the farm, my friends, mistletoe itself. There is something about your hometown nothing else compares to. I hopped from state to state after college, but never found the sense of community anywhere else like I had here.
They had that in common. He'd picked a college far away from his parents, hoping to find somewhere he belonged. The Winters farm was the place he'd been looking for, and he didn't want to lose it. He wasn't sure why Mary wanted to come out here with him, but her easy, warm demeanor was slowly chipping away his resolve to keep his distance.
What about you?
She asked.
Why did you come back? Your parents aren't local anymore, right? Where did they end up?
Florida. but we aren't close. They liked the idea of kids more than they actually wanted us around. Mary winced.
Sorry. That's got to be rough.
It wasn't.
You always give short answers when someone shows an interest in you?
She mumbled. Clark startled. You really want to know about my life?
I wouldn't have asked otherwise.
All right. Let's say I didn't know any different until I started school. I rarely went to friends' houses because my parents didn't want to have to drop me off and pick me up. It might interfere with their plans for the day. By the time I got my license and could drive myself, the friends I had spent their weekends playing video games, and I could do that with them from my own room. So, he trailed off, hating how sad his childhood sounded. The last thing he wanted was pity.
Do you still talk to your friends?
She asked. No. They all left Mistletoe after graduation, too. We're Facebook friends. But you know how that goes. Mary scoffed.
Oh, yeah. I have those. It's funny. I thought I was close to so many people in high school, but I only stayed close with two of them, although they recently got boyfriends. So I'm kind of the fifth wheel. I'm single by choice. But it's not much fun watching everyone around you making out.
That must make me the flat tire. He caught her confused expression and laughed. Sorry, bad joke. I only mean people stop asking you to go get a beer when you need to plan ahead for a babysitter. Why am I telling her this?
You know that if you ever need anyone to watch Jace, you only need to ask. My mom adores him.
I already feel like I'm taking advantage of your mom. I'm her employee.
Don't tell her that. She thinks of you and Jace as part of the family. So does my dad. He speaks highly of you.
Several seconds passed as they walked together in companionable silence, until Mary said,
You can ask me too, you know.
Ask you to watch Jace?
Well, yeah. Your son is the sweetest kid I've ever met, and I may not have much, any experience with kids, but I'm pretty sure I could keep him alive for a few hours.
Clark hesitated, and Mary laughed.
Why do you seem thrown by that?
Because I didn't think you wanted me here. Mary froze.
What do you mean?
I overheard you talking to your sister when I first arrived. You were upset your parents hired me. Mary's face flushed.
I'm sorry. None of that was about you. I'm frustrated with my dad. I've asked him to teach me everything that goes into the daily workings on the farm, but he brushes me off.
I didn't realize you wanted to take over someday.
It may be many years in the future, but I'd at least like to be prepared, you know?
Why did the catch in her voice trigger the urge to touch her? Flexing his fingers, he took a step to the side, putting a few more inches between them. What do you want to know? About the farm, I mean.
Really? After what you heard, you'd teach me?
This is your home. I just work here. As true as the words were, they sank like a stone to the bottom of Clark's stomach. He may love it, but it was too new to get comfortable. Mary walked up to one of the Douglas firs up ahead and fingered its branch.
What are you looking for out here?
There are lots of answers to that question. But the main thing is that the tree needles are green and pliable. Swollen nodes and white masses usually mean an infection. I'm not worried about root rot, but these trees on the outer edge of the property don't get as much attention as the ones closest to the main house. Disease spreads fast, and the last thing we want is to lose too many mature trees because we missed something.
You went to college for plant diseases, right?
Plant pathology. I was hoping for a job that would take me outdoors, but I ended up in a lab for a few years. Great pay, but the long hours kept me away from Jace, and I wanted to be home with my son. Your parents needing a foreman was a lucky break.
I feel worse now.
Why? He asked.
for being such a jerk about my dad hiring you. He told me that a good foreman is a necessity, and I'd be happy to have you by my side.
I hope that's true. It would suck to move back here and have you forever hate my guts.
I didn't ever hate you. I was upset at first. But my parents can't say enough good things about you. I couldn't get a handle on you because any time I came around, you found something else to do.
Staying out of your way seemed the best option, considering what I knew.
Please don't do that anymore. I was venting my feelings. But I'm not some soap opera villain looking for ways to discredit you. I hope you believe me.
I do. He walked along the row, fingering the branches as he passed. Is that why you wanted to tag along out here? To get to know me? Clear the air?
I wasn't sure what I wanted. I just saw you on the quad and thought a ride around the farm sounded fun. Now I'm glad I came along and got to really meet the great guy my parents keep raving about.
Clark slowed to face her, touching her arm as he smiled. Thank you, Mary. That means a lot. She stared at him strangely before she released a little laugh.
You're welcome. And I really am serious about Jace coming over. Although you might not agree when I feed him 10 pounds of sugary snacks before sending him home.
Clark stumbled back in mock horror. You wouldn't.
Chances are slim, but not zero.
I guess I better stay on your good side then.
Probably best. Although I feel like I should be the one on my best behavior from now on.
Clark looked up from the tree he was studying, his gaze locking with hers. I admire your candidness. I always have.
Thank you. I don't remember the two of us having too many conversations, even before you left for college.
That's because you were out of my league.
Ouch! Please tell me I didn't come off like a giant superficial jerk.
Clark held up his fingers apart a tiny bit, smirking. Only this much. To his surprise, she shoved him gently in his arm. The gesture friendly and familiar, as though this wasn't the first real conversation they'd had in years. I'm only teasing. You were easy to be around. The people you hung with, I can't say the same. Mary looped her arm through his.
I'll give you that. My entire dating history includes every flavor of asshole. I think back on my life sometimes and wonder what the hell I was thinking. Do you ever do that?
The weight of her arm in his took Clark back to the one day he really got to spend time with Mary. How she lit up the room, treated everyone like they were her best friend. Mary had a way about her, easily approachable, with a personality warm and inviting that people flocked to. She didn't think twice about teasing a stranger or taking the arm of a guy she was getting to know. He'd never had that natural ability to connect with people. Maybe because he'd had such a disconnection in his own life. It wasn't until Jace came along that he'd finally learned to speak up and ask for things, usually with less tact than most. But he couldn't stand pussyfooting around things. Not particularly. I only ever dated one person, and although that didn't turn out the way I wanted, if I hadn't met her, I wouldn't have Jace. Mary released him and walked backwards so she could face him. Her expression bright and earnest.
He is such a funny, special kid.
She stopped, cocking her head sheepishly.
I should really thank you. Jace will keep my mother occupied for several years.
Occupied?
Grandkids. My mother says they are the reward for raising children, as if we aren't good enough for her.
You don't want kids? He asked.
I do. I want a passel of kids, but not anytime soon. I want to meet someone and have a few years to just discover us before we add another person to the mix.
No single dads for you, huh? He'd meant it as a joke, but there was a sharpness to his tone he couldn't mask. Mary's face flushed.
I mean, I've never dated a single parent, but I would be open to it.
You would?
Well, yeah. Like I said, I want a bunch of kids.
Even if they aren't yours?
Just because they don't share my blood doesn't mean they wouldn't be mine. My parents never officially adopted Noelle after her parents died, but I consider her my family, my sister, and I'd feel the same way as a co-parent.
Clark cleared his throat, surprised by her passion on the subject. I didn't mean to offend you. In my experience, some women aren't as enthusiastic about dating single fathers.
You're telling me you've never been with anyone else except Jace's mom?
Depends on what you mean by been with.
Dating!
She cleared her throat.
I was talking about dating.
Then no. I haven't dated anyone.
That's a shame, she said.
Why is that?
You seem like a nice guy. I already know you're a good father, or your son wouldn't have turned out to be such a great kid. You're employed, which is always a bonus.
She shrugged and added rapidly,
and you aren't hard to look at.
She turned away from him, missing his slack-jawed expression. Hard to look at?
I said what I said. Don't make a big deal about it.
Clark laughed. A definite improvement over the gawky teen I used to be.
Actually, I thought you were cute then too. All wiry muscle and mysterious.
Shockwaves shot through him, freezing him in place. No, you didn't.
You had no idea I had a crush on you?
He shook his head, his heart slamming in his chest.
I did. It was during peak season, and the place was swamped, so I helped out. We spent the whole day together, and I was enamored with your dark eyes and broody soul.
Clark scoffed. Broody soul?
Yeah, like Angel on Buffy. Swoony.
I remember who I was in high school, and swoony is not the term I would use.
Well, you were never a 16-year-old girl, so you don't get a vote.
Fair enough. Clark's thoughts drifted back to that day. The laughter, the disappointment when he realized Mary had a boyfriend. Why didn't you say anything?
Because every time I came around after that day, you avoided me. I figured I wasn't your type.
I thought you had a boyfriend.
Oh, yes. Johnny. One of the many jerks I dated. I actually broke up with him after working with you. Not fully because of you. Although I figured if I was crushing that hard, I probably shouldn't be dating him.
Why did you break up then?
Someone had been taking money from my wallet for weeks, and I thought it was Holly. But I caught him when I came back from the bathroom that night. Had to apologize to my sister, which she was merciless about. Like I said, I know how to pick 'em.
Clark almost told her he'd had a crush on her too, but it felt too close to the realm of flirting, and he shouldn't go there with her. Not just because he was his boss's daughter, but they lived next door to each other. If things went south, he'd still have to see her every day. And he still had Naughty Girl 25 consuming his thoughts.
I'm sorry, did I make you uncomfortable?
She asked. No, of course not. I'm flattered that a beautiful girl found me mysterious.
I mean, I still find you mysterious. But I no longer fantasize about you reading me poetry or anything.
You would have been very disappointed. Not only do I not like poetry, but I don't have a romantic bone in my body. A woman like you would be wasted on me. Mary laughed.
I don't have unrealistic expectations anymore.
It's not unrealistic to want a man to treat you like you're the best thing that ever happened to him, Mary. Don't settle for anything less.
Chapter 6. If the trees could talk, they'd call Mary an idiot. Everything coming out of her mouth made her sound like a jackass. She'd wanted to melt into the soil when Clark brought up the single parent thing. It wasn't that she wouldn't date a man with children. With the exception of Clark, she didn't know any other single dads, so she didn't think about it. Overexplaining in my own head is making me feel worse. Then the not hard to look at comment. She'd meant it as a compliment, but he'd seemed offended by it. So then she told him about her little crush, He'd tried to be nice and let her down easy, but she kept on until he said something he obviously regretted. It didn't take a genius to pick up that Clark thought she was a swell gal, and that was all there was to it. Now they'd been walking silently for the past several minutes, and it was all because she'd rambled. Mary hadn't even thought about those 2 weeks of mooning around the farm in years, because it was embarrassing. Popping up when he was working, only to have him disappear with his book rather than talk to her. He'd been so far removed from the guys she usually went for, and it had been unnerving that he hadn't been interested. God, I sound like a vain twit in my own head. I can only imagine what he's thinking. As a teen, she'd thought he was scrawny under his baggy sweatshirts, and then she'd watched him lift tree after tree with ease. His hooded dark eyes staring into hers as he listened, hardly saying a word. But when he did, it was a surprisingly deep timbre. She'd imagined him saying her name with that low register, but instead, he'd kept his distance, and she'd moved on. When he'd given her that very real smile this afternoon, the first one she'd seen from him since they were teens, it knocked the wind right out of her. Clark was hot, all dark-eyed and outdoorsy, with hair you could get a grip on when you kissed him. His broad shoulders filled out that Carhartt jacket, and she could imagine him replacing the Bounty paper towel man if he decided to grow a beard and—
Mary, you all right?
He asked. She cleared her throat, keeping her face turned away so he wouldn't see her blushing. She'd never been a shy person, but when flustered, her face turned redder than a rich, ripe strawberry, especially around attractive men. Yes, I'm good. Just thinking.
That's what I do when I come out here. It's my quiet time. I go through my mental to-do list, think about life and the meaning of it all. You can really sort everything out among the trees.
I didn't mean to encroach on your alone time.
Honestly, I don't mind your company.
I feel like I keep saying things I shouldn't. Clark shrugged.
Better an awkward, honest answer than a smooth lie.
Yes, but we really haven't had any one-on-one time together, and I should be fixing the wonderful impression I made when you first arrived.
You made an impression years ago, and my opinion hasn't changed.
Good or bad?
Good.
Why did that one word, said in that deep, gravelly voice of his, tickle her giddy?
Well, thank the Lord for that. I would hate to run you off now that we're getting along.
Even if you chased me with a rabid grizzly, you'd have a hard time getting rid of me.
I'm fresh out of those, Mary teased. If my dad ever lets me take the reins, though, I promise not to let all that power go to my head.
Are you really planning on taking over when your parents retire?
Why is there a tone when you ask that? His face stretched in a sheepish smirk.
I can count on my hand the number of times I've seen you out hauling trees with us.
Hey, I can get dirty if I need to. There was that smile again, taking out her knees like a linebacker.
I didn't say you couldn't.
The alternate meaning to their conversation registered, and she burst out laughing. Oh boy, this took a strange turn. Let's get back on track. Me taking over the farm. I didn't think I would. I always loved it out here, but I guess I assumed my brother would take over. Then he joined the army and fell in love with programming, and I realized I wasn't being honest with myself because I'm not big on going after what I want.
I'm the opposite. I've known what I wanted since I was 17, and when your dad's foreman post popped up in my feed, I knew I had to apply. I was really surprised he hired me.
Why is that?
I'd been working in a lab since graduation with some field work, but I don't have any experience running a farm. I did a lot of research and I'm a fast learner, but I need this season to go well.
Mary reached out without thinking and squeezed his hand. It'll be an awesome season. I have faith. His eyes crinkled at the corners, and he returned her gesture, compressing her hand in his larger one.
Thanks.
The heat of his skin warmed hers. flutters erupting inside from her stomach to her chest. His eyes were a touch lighter than her siblings, and she could have sworn she saw flecks of green in their depths. Mary's phone went off with Beastie Boys' Girls, and she released his hand with a start. Digging her phone out of her pocket, she groaned. I forgot my friends were coming over for dinner tonight.
It's no problem. I'll take you back.
We can finish your inspection.
Are you sure?
He asked. Yeah, just let me answer this. She slid her thumb across the screen. Hi. Where are you? We're standing outside your front door freezing our asses off, Sally said. It should be unlocked. Just go inside and I'll meet you there in a half an hour? The last was said with a question and Clark nodded. Half an hour. What are you doing? I'm inspecting the north side of the property with Clark. Oh, your hot foreman, Tara piped in, and Mary rolled her eyes. She should have known Sally would put her on speakerphone. Yes, but it isn't like that. We're working. Working that body. Okay, I'll see you soon. Love you, they hollered. Mary ended the call without returning the sentiment and glanced at Clark, who continued his rounds, disappearing into the rows of trees ahead. Hopefully he hadn't heard them, or her humiliation would be complete. Clark probably thought she was chasing him with all her talk about being single and crushes and fifth wheels. Did she just have dating on the brain because of the woodsman's last message? She clicked on the Meet Me app and opened the message, her stomach knotting. Tonight? Even if she wasn't hanging with her friends, it was too soon, right? He could be anyone. He could be lying about his age, his hobbies, which would be on par with her track record. On the other hand, they'd had so much fun chatting this week. They could have an even deeper connection in person. And they were meeting in a public space. If he did turn out to be a creeper, she'd ask one of the bouncers to walk her to her car and she'd never have to see him again. Woodsman 27. I actually have plans tonight, but I could do 8:30 p.m. tomorrow at Brews and Chews. Would that work? XO, Naughty Girl 25. Mary slipped it into her pocket as Clark headed back toward her.
Your friend's okay with waiting?
Oh, yeah. I never lock my door, so they can go right in.
You need to be careful.
It was said sharply, taking her aback, and Clark's face flushed as he added,
I just mean, as a woman living alone and a lot of strangers visit the farm, you should keep it locked during the day.
I lock it when I'm at home, but there isn't anything of value. You may be right, though. I've been thinking about getting a dog.
Can I send my son over to play with it if you do? He's been begging me for a puppy.
Absolutely. You're both welcome. If you need to borrow a cup of sugar or some other neighborly item you run out of, I've got you covered. Clark stepped around a tree, his mouth tilted up in the corners.
You're saying I need to make up an excuse to stop by?
No, I mean, you can come over anytime.
Anytime, huh?
Her eyes narrowed. You're messing with me, aren't you?
A little bit. I didn't expect you to get so flustered.
Why not? She called after him as he rounded the next row of trees.
You don't seem easily frazzled. The way you're always jumping in to help people, taking charge, unflappable.
Who do I help?
Do you normally plan the festival of trees?
No.
Didn't think so. Since I've been back, I know you've helped out at Father's Day frittatas, the 4th of July parade, and the fireworks display. I saw you filling drink orders at the Labor Day concert, not to mention running the front office of the school. For a woman who spent years away from here, you didn't miss a beat fitting right back into the fold.
She really hadn't. She'd come home last fall, and it wasn't long before her mother roped her into performing at the Christmas concert. After that, it had come naturally to volunteer when someone dropped out of an event, or they needed an extra hand. I guess coming back here was like riding a bike. I go where I'm needed.
That's why people love you.
Mary tossed her head, shooting him a playfully haughty look. And why wouldn't they? I am completely lovable.
Oof,
humility and graciousness are also lovable.
You're saucier than I expected. Has anyone told you that?
They haven't used that word exactly.
I like this side of you.
All part of growing up, I suppose.
He pulled his glove out of his jacket pocket as the first few flakes started falling.
We should be heading back.
Mary followed along behind him and climbed onto the quad first. When he settled back between her thighs, she entangled her arms around his waist again, breathing in the scent of cedar and soap as he fired up the quad. Today was the first time she'd been aware of Clark as a man, mostly because he was so standoffish and cordial. With her mom and dad, he was polite, friendly, and professional. But he seemed to hold himself away, as if keeping some invisible barrier in place. Considering how he'd talked about his parents in childhood, it made sense he'd have trouble with attachments. But then he doted on his son. He really was a conundrum. There'd been a few moments among the trees where he'd let his guard down and surprised her, but that didn't mean he was interested in her. No sense in disintegrating the ground they'd covered by getting hung up on how good he smelled. Still, there was that smile, his voice, how funny he was when he lightened up. If women thought Clark was a catch before, wait until they got a load of him relaxed and in his element. They'd be breaking down his door and carrying him off like cave women. I might have been one of them if he'd shown even one iota of interest. Despite his playfulness on their walk, he hadn't pushed the conversation further than idle flirting, and she'd respected him for it.